This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
You can call in at 603-283-6160. That number is 603-283-6160. And I want to tell you about ForkFest 2024. Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 13th through the 16th for the 8th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which has sold out in recent years. ForkFest happens the weekend before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, which means that there's no ticket costs and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 13th through the 16th. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. You can find links to both of those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there June 13th through the 16th. Forkfest.party. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
Uh-oh.
Oh, can't hear Mark, but he's there somewhere.
Yeah, I have him unmuted, but suddenly I can't hear Mark. But Mark is here with us from...
I am here with you.
Oh, there you go.
My fault.
It's okay. I wanted to also tell you about one other announcement. On Friday, January 12th, we're having... And Mark, this is New Hampshire news. I hope you don't mind, but Ian wants me to remind people that on Friday, Friday, January 12th, there are two secession bill hearings in the New Hampshire Legislative Office Building. It's going to be at room 206-208, so they put it in one of the larger rooms, at 9:30 a.m. and 10:15 a.m. respectively. You can go there and voice your support. It's the most effective way, I believe, is to go in person and tell the committee, I support this bill, I support secession. One of them is the bill that will amend the Constitution. The people will be able to vote on it to amend the Constitution to say, oh, if the national debt reaches $40 trillion, then we secede. It's like a trigger for secession. And the second one starts a study committee to figure out some answers to certain things about secession. So very important bills. But we did talk about the Jeffrey Epstein thing. I think the only thing I really have to say about that right now, because the headline is, like you're saying, like it's one of those things that seem... It's like whenever WikiLeaks would put out something new, people are like, oh my gosh, a new WikiLeaks drop. But a lot of times it was a new WikiLeaks drop, but not really new information. That is basically what this is. The judge said today and did release some... unseal some things about the Jeffrey Epstein case, but it doesn't look like anything new is out. It's just saying what we already knew about some celebrities having visited the island. And it's interesting. And the other thing about it is that more will be rolling out. That's how they set it up. So like in several weeks, more will be unsealed and then more and more. So that's all that there was really to say about the Epstein story. But this is from...
I want to know, is that island ever going to go up for sale? I mean, this guy's been dead for a while.
Might be haunted.
I don't believe he's dead.
Yeah. Okay, maybe he's there.
He's not at the island.
Yeah, I doubt he's not going there because that's a hotbed. But yeah,
somebody's going to be like, I saw his ghost. I bought the island. And I swear I'm seeing his ghost.
Shoot, it sold without me knowing. Financier buys Epstein's private island with plans to create a resort.
Oh my gosh, I was going to joke about that. I was going to say you should make it a tourist attraction, like come to Jeffrey Epstein's Island and see where the kids were tortured. That's crazy.
71-acre property. What I want to know is, I bet they couldn't clean that thing. Whatever's there, there's something there. There's some incriminating evidence there.
They probably couldn't spiritually clean it.
Well, that could be too.
It looks like we have a caller. Chuck from Washington, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you said the trigger word there, Epstein. All day long I've been listening to this Epstein thing play out. And really, what I think here is happening is, and Alex Jones did his victory lap on a show today. Everybody's jumping down this Alex Jones foxhole. Some people might need a foxhole, but
rabbit hole.
A rabbit. Exactly. They're jumping down this thing, and really, what I think here is happening is there's some kind of unresolved sexual issue that people are having with this. I don't know if it's unfulfilled desire to do whatever, but they are paying a lot of attention to this, and I think you will probably end up seeing this kind of thing take over the place of JonBenet Ramsey. She's still making headlines in 2023. And I just can't imagine this thing going away for another 50 years, depending on who's involved. So, that's all I need to say. Thank you.
So your idea is just that people seem to be really obsessed with this because you think they have a sexually unresolved issue that makes them really interested in it. That's a creepy but possible, not creepy on his part, but it's creepy to think about, but that is definitely a possible reason why people are so obsessed with this. And speaking of places that can't sell, I learned just the other day from a Joe Rogan episode, which I'm not like I don't hate him or something. I just don't like sit around listening to Joe Rogan usually, but he had my favorite YouTuber, Sam and Colby, on. Well, Joe Rogan was saying that the JonBenet Ramsey house can't sell because people don't want to live in the house where a little girl was murdered, which makes sense. So speaking of...
Was she murdered there? I thought they lost her and didn't know where she went.
I don't know.
Yeah, they never found her, I believe.
That's weird.
I don't know.
And then there's like a conspiracy theory that Lady Gaga is actually JonBenet.
No, it's Katy Perry. But
oh,
yeah.
Katy Perry, okay.
I don't believe it, really. And I am not one of those people who don't believe any conspiracy theories. Like, I definitely believe some conspiracy theories. But I just have looked so many times. They both have... She's naturally blonde. You might not know that Katy Perry is naturally blonde because she's, like, famous for having black hair. But she's naturally blonde, has big blue eyes, but she just doesn't look enough like her for me. But it could be plastic surgery, but it is really interesting, crazy.
Yeah, I don't really have an opinion, but just something I heard. And I didn't even have it right. I said the wrong name.
Oh, yeah. I don't really expect you to know the differences between all of the top teen pop star music makers.
I don't pay attention to that.
Good news, because I don't.
But, so we have this story from Wall Street Journal. It's an opinion piece, and it says, electric mandates have California truckers charging overtime. They haul lighter loads and spend hours plugged in. Consumers will ultimately foot the bill, of course. So it's something that the government of California has done, but the consumers and taxpayers are going to foot the bill for this dumb idea.
So this is, you're talking about semi-trucks.
Yep.
Like, that are hauling all the produce.
That are electric.
Like, California produces, a lot. It's a huge portion of the fruit and vegetables consumed throughout the United States. And they have gotten so ridiculous that I know that, like, you right now, if you have like a pre-2010 like semi truck or commercial truck, you cannot go into California with it unless it's like been upgraded with, like, so like one of these semi trucks, they have to be upgraded with like all this crazy emission stuff.
Even if you're not working.
Well, if it's recreational, I think you're exempt. But like, if you're like a commercial trucker and like you're gonna go haul, like, I don't know, some hay to California from, say, Texas or Arizona, and or you're just going there with your refrigerator truck to pick up some produce to, you know, the haul back to, you know, the East Coast or something, or wherever, some city somewhere, you know, you can't go into California if your truck is older than 2010. unless you do like a $35,000 sort of upgrade to these trucks, which is, you know, has to do with all the emission systems. And then the emission systems on these trucks make these trucks extremely unreliable. And then also, so now there's a mandate pushing that you have to have all these electric trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So was there any more you wanted to read on that?
Well, I had no idea that there were even electric semi-trucks. That seems kind of crazy. Like, and it makes sense that it says that they're having to haul lighter loads because it just sounds like, well, it doesn't sound strong enough to haul around, you know, imagine a 16-wheeler.
18-wheeler, yep.
18-wheeler. It seems like that is just too big for, like, an electric little motor. I don't know. You guys have more. Mark has electric vehicle experience.
Yeah, I do. But I don't make any positive statements with Jay on the show when it comes to vehicles. What the question I'd ask is, wouldn't an electric motor be able to produce more torque?
Oh,
just not a lot of speed.
Absolutely. So the electric motors, like electric drive, is the way to go. So like all your freight trains, your modern freight trains, are what are called diesel electric hybrid. The Euclid rock trucks that can carry like 50 or 100 tons of rock, the big mining trucks that are like 18 foot wide and 20 foot tall and 40 foot long. Like you know the classic Tonka truck that a kid plays with?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that, but it can carry, you know, 50 or 60 tons of rock. That's called like a rock truck. So those things don't have transmissions. They have huge diesel engines with generators, and then they have a series of controllers and wires that run to what they call the hub-mounted motors. Trains are the same way.
Why is it that they would be saying that these truckers in California have to...
Because they're not diesel-electric hybrids.
Hmm.
They just are battery-powered.
Yeah.
So batteries are extremely heavy, and these trucks are, and it's also hardcore government subsidized. Like, there's big subsidies by the state of California, by the federal government to create this. Well, this is a pretty good thing to talk about here, because yesterday, Ernest Hancock and I actually did a podcast with a guy named Chase Barber.
Ernest Hancock of Declare Your Independence. He's on the Free Talk Live Radio Network with us now, and he's on Mondays. So
if you want to listen, so Chase Barber is from Edison Motors out of British Columbia, Canada. So Chase Barber is a logger. He had a logging business. What a great guy. If you want to watch some of his YouTube videos, Edison Motors on YouTube, edisonmotors.ca, he's a Canadian outfit, is his website. If you are, like, into cars, into trucks, if you, like, really enjoy how your Prius drives, and the first time I drove a Prius was last summer.
Hmm.
So a friend of mine let me borrow his Prius to come down here and do the show. And when I got home, I said, hey, man, I want my truck to be like this Prius.
Hmm.
Because the Prius has what's called is a hybrid. So it has an internal combustion engine that's basically hooked up to a generator, and then it has a battery pack. And so what happens when you're driving a Prius, now Mark has a lot of miles and hours in driving a Prius. I think you guys have had a couple different Priuses, right, Mark?
No, I've just had the one Prius, and it's almost a 250,000 miles on it.
There you go. So
by the way, I'll say this about Priuses. One thing that nobody ever says is, I love driving a Prius. it's a pretty boring car generally, but I have had no trouble with it.
Oh,
well,
it's
you mean
an amazing car to drive.
You don't mean it in as in it's fun. You mean that it's like really good for mileage, right?
It's just super practical.
Hmm.
So like there's no transmission to service. There's no clutch to repair. You basically don't ever have to put brakes on them if you learn how to drive it correctly and you drive them properly, because it does what's called regenerative braking. So
you have to replace the brakes every 150,000 miles, otherwise they just kind of seize up or something.
Right, right.
Yeah,
that's the problem. The brakes never wear out. They just seize up due to
not
using them. So basically, if you drive that Prius correctly, the only time you really ever apply the actual brakes is like 5 feet from the stop sign, essentially. Or if like somebody runs out in front of you and you have to, or you know, step on your brakes for some kind of emergency reason. So anyways, getting back to Edison Motors, we interviewed Chase Barber. If you go to freedomsphoenix.com and you click on the top right where it says Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and it has Ernest Hancock's cursive signature up there, that is all of his shows, and you can actually listen to that That's where the archives are, and you could listen to that show. I'm sure it's up on either an MP3 or an MP4. And what's really nice is you can just listen to freedomsphoenix.com, the MP3 file, and like you can just basically, and you can download it to your phone, and then you can be offline and listen. That's one thing I really like about it. So like when you're traveling around New Hampshire all day, you can listen to, you know, that, and it doesn't get interrupted. You mm-hmm. know, there's the option not to stream, or there's a video you can watch of me, Chase, and Ernie. So the video actually might be good for some people who aren't really into cars, kind of understand some of the things that we talked about a little bit. But what these guys did, Edison Motors, is they actually make let me get back to how the EV hybrid works. So the EV hybrid has an internal combustion engine, whether it's gas or diesel, it doesn't matter, the generator hooked to it. So the truck or the car has electric hub drive or electric motors on the axles. Now, electric motors make massive, massive torque. Like, they make their maximum torque at zero RPM. To where, like, the engine in your Honda Civic, for example, makes its, like, most torque at, like, three quarters into the RPM range. So if your Honda Civic idles at 1,000 RPMs and redlines at 7,000 RPMs, it's making its maximum torque somewhere around 5,000 RPMs. It's consuming a lot of gasoline at 5,000 RPMs. That's just the way internal combustion gas engine works. Diesel engines make their maximum torque very low in the RPM range, usually about less than halfway into the RPM range. So the diesel engine in my Dodge Cummins pickup truck makes like 600 foot-pounds of torque at 1,400 RPM, but its red line is like 2,800 RPM, idles at about 600 RPM.
And you're saying that means that
torque is the ability to move something.
But you're saying that all that means that it can move something without using as much gas?
So here's the thing. So let's talk about semi-trucks for the purpose of this discussion. So semi-trucks, like the 53-foot or the 18-wheelers that you see driving around, they are generally freighted out to weighing 80,000 pounds.
Whoa.
Generally, most of those trucks weigh between, 19 to, 30,000 pounds empty, depending on how they're specced. So if you weigh like 20,000 pounds on an empty semi-truck, you could put 60,000 pounds of cargo in it and drive down the road legally.
Cool. It's terrifying.
If you have overweight permits, that same semi-truck in certain areas is good for 105,000 pounds. If you have a Tritium drive or a tri-axle trailer, you can be like 120,000 pounds. A guy who delivered me an excavator this summer delivered me an 84,000-pound excavator that I worked on for a friend, and he brought it. He delivered it on a truck that was designed to max out at like 175,000 pounds. You know, it's a big old truck with lots of axles and tires. So, anyways, these trucks have big, powerful 500 horsepower diesel engines. A 500 horsepower diesel engine is literally the equivalent of a 15 horsepower gasoline engine when it comes to pulling, because of the torque that a diesel engine makes. Well, the thing is you need all that 500 horsepower and that 2,400 foot-pounds of torque that big Caterpillar diesel engine in a semi-truck produces to get that 80,000-pound moving up the hills and get it going. But once you get up to cruising speed, you really only need like 200 horsepower or 150 horsepower. And this is kind of the same thing with all cars. Well, here in New Hampshire, we have a lot of hills. So when you're driving your EV, you're going down the hill, you can do what's called regenerative braking. So like when you're driving your Prius or your EV semi-truck or your Tesla truck, you can, when you let off the gas and just touch the brake just a little bit, there's a little thing on a dash. It'll show that like a light or an arrow is going from the wheel motors to the batteries. It shows that you're charging the batteries. That's called regenerative braking.
Just to be clear, on the Prius specifically, there is a gear, let's call it, because it's on the shift.
Yep.
They call it brake. What it does is applies the brake, as you're talking about, a small extent, and it regenerates as you're going down hills. Because sometimes in New Hampshire, the hills will be so steep that you'll get going too fast. Obviously, the best form of fuel economy is the speed that you have. You don't want to store it in a battery. You want to use it. But at some point, you'll get up to, going down a hill at 80 miles an hour, and you don't want to do that. So you put this on, and that just grabs at least some of the power that is being generated.
And when I drove that Prius, I didn't use that option because I thought the B meant working off the battery. not regenerative braking. Actually, I wasn't clearing that until you just mentioned it, Mark. Yep. So anyways, but I drove a Prius one night. That's all. So with the semi trucks here in New Hampshire, they're, you know, and even like when I go haul cattle or haul logs or hay or whatever, everywhere I travel, I use the term, I climb up one side of the hill and slide down the other. So like when I go up hills and I'm peaking a hill, for example, on like Interstate 91, which goes up through Vermont, but it's like a ski slope. It's up and down, up and down. And when I was hauling hay from Quebec to Massachusetts, I would be topping the hills, like some of the big hill up by St. Johnsbury. This is like 9 miles of like downhill. Well, at the top of that hill, I'd be just doing like 30 miles an hour. Not 70, not 65, because I would have to be on the brakes like the whole time. And then what I would do is I would, at the top of that hill at like 30 miles an hour, I would just coast. And I would actually downshift, and my truck had a thing called an exhaust brake, which helped with braking, engine braking. And I still had to use the brakes going down the hill in order not to be, you know, going too fast, because at the bottom of a lot of these hills, you have to make a pretty good turn, it seems like. So, like, you can't be, like, you know, flying. So, anyways, with these...
It always does seem like that, doesn't
it? Yes. So with these semi-trucks, you're actually, with these EV semi-trucks, diesel-electric, that Edison Motors is doing, and they're actually doing this for pickup trucks, and that's what really got me excited about this, because I want a diesel-electric kit for my pickup truck. Problem is, it's like $35,000. But a brand-new diesel pickup truck is like $100,000, so, you know, to refort like an old pickup truck is like a pretty good idea. So what Edison Motors is doing is taking these trucks, and they're mostly for logging and, like, farming and agricultural-type stuff, and... they're removing the 500 and 600 horsepower diesel engines, and they're putting like a 250 horsepower diesel engine with a generator hooked up to it.
But to be clear, California is not even allowing that.
Oh yeah, they'll allow that. But the thing is nobody's really building a diesel electric truck. These are the only guys doing it, and they were able to produce a diesel electric truck basically within 1 year. Tesla doesn't even have a diesel truck on the market you can buy. This guy Chase said that he ordered a Tesla electric semi truck in 2017, and they still haven't delivered it.
Well, you know, he's a welfare recipient, Elon Musk, so he's probably not that excited to jump to getting to work.
Well, the problem is they're having a hard time testing it and making it work. So these diesel electric trucks are using half of the fuel to go the same distance. And because they're driving the motors with electric motors, and they're using a diesel engine and a generator to drive them, it's super efficient, and it has a whole bunch of options. And we're going to go into a break here, and I'll talk more about and also this guy, Chase Barber, Edison Motors. I found out by accident that he's a libertarian. And he didn't even know he was libertarian, but pretty much all entrepreneurs become libertarians when they start learning about all of the garbage government puts in their way.
Do you like being stolen from? Do you like being stopped from making as much money as you can? Maybe you're a libertarian if you don't. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
U.S. USA News Update. The Biden administration is pushing back on border security as Republicans toured border crossings near Eagle Pass, Texas on Wednesday. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters that Republican lawmakers...
What they're doing is they're not doing their job. They want us to deliver on things that matter to them.
Republicans argue, though, there also needs to be significant policy changes within the administration to slow down the flow of immigrants. There is much anticipation today about the impending release of the Epstein list, 170 unredacted names of people that were connected to the Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell sex trafficking ring could be released as soon as today. The list could have some very powerful individuals' names on it, but it's believed several of the identities included will remain anonymous for various reasons. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. You can call in to bring up whatever is on your mind. That's 603-283-6160. And I want to thank Greg Lilly. Thank you so much, Greg Lilly, for being an elite member with us with the AMPS program. We really appreciate that. That means that he is giving money to our AMPS program, but you can go to amps.freetalklive.com to get more information on. He's benefiting and has some perks for his help with the AMPS program. And you can sign up at amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you so much to Greg Lilly. We really appreciate everybody who is a part of the AMPS program. And we means me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Mark.
And in the last segment, we were talking about this story from the Wall Street Journal that I just think is a really good example of the government acting like they're doing something good for people and really harming them. So what it is it says the electric mandates have California truckers charging overtime. maybe Californians would say, listen, I'll foot the bill as a consumer to not harm the planet, and we could talk about that as well.
Yeah, these EV, mining lithium is way more harming the planet than using the number two most renewable resource, crude oil, which is super clean, as far as I'm concerned, when you burn it, especially when you burn it in a combustion chamber and you burn it very hot. In fact, diesel fuel, for example, the particulate that comes from diesel fuel is essentially fertilizer. Like, plants use it. and a lot of with the new technology, the newer technology of like the electronic fuel injection and stuff like that, the diesel.
I'm a little confused though, because I thought that diesel oil was considered non-renewable.
Crude oil is very renewable.
You said crude oil.
Yeah, well, diesel fuel comes from crude oil. And crude oil is something, so it's called the ambiotic oil theory, which didn't really call the theory, but basically it was proven by Russian scientists, almost 100 years ago, that this crude oil is essentially produced by an ambiotic, I think is how you say it, sort of reaction in the Earth's crust. So like the term fossil fuel is horribly wrong. It's misinformation. It is not decomposing dinosaur bones.
So I've heard this, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but I've heard this as a conspiracy theory that oil is something like blood and the Earth constantly makes more of it and they don't want you to know it. I could believe it. Why wouldn't they lie about something like that? They go to war. They kill millions of people over oil and selling oil. Why wouldn't they lie about something like that?
It was Rockefeller, U.S. Standard Oil, that essentially created the peak oil theory. So they've been saying since the 50s and the 60s, oh, we're going to run out of oil right now. It was to create scarcity. So, like, what happened in, like, Texas and the Texas Panhandle in Oklahoma is the Saudis in the 80s on, via, the Bush crime family, as in George Bush crime family, the Saudi royal family essentially bought up all the like oil rights to these oil wells. And what they did is they just filled these oil wells with concrete. And then what started happening with a bunch of these oil wells is the oil started percolating out of the ground around where these oil wells were, capped or filled in. And, the oil wells, so the oil, like, it comes up out of the earth, ground, it starts seeping up, and this is where you get tar pits and, things like that. So the idea that oil is a fossil fuel is absolute nonsense and garbage, and it is the number two most renewable resource on planet Earth after water.
Well, I think we can agree that the number one most, cleanest energy source is nuclear power. Everything I've managed to read on fossil fuels says that they are, in fact, fossil fuels. But I don't know. I'm not an expert, but I have looked into this same theory before, and I just got to say, everything I've been able to come to, there doesn't seem, for me, I've been left with the notion that there is a peak to the oil. Now, when is it? That's another question, because it seems to be, hydrocarbons keep getting pumped out of the ground.
Would you be surprised that they would lie about that, though?
Oh, no. Absolutely. the same people that would tell a lie about nuclear power being dangerous will, tell you all kinds of stuff. Nuclear power is the safest form of energy that they've got out there.
The people who created the peak oil theory are the same people that lobbied the temperance movement to make alcohol illegal. The purpose, the reason, and that is U.S. Standard Oil. Because basically rural America, previous prohibition, every farm, every rural American household, every homestead was a farm, pretty much. They all had alcohol stills. And what did they use that alcohol for? To run their Model T Ford, to run their Ford tractor, the Model A Ford. All of the original internal combustion engines ran on alcohol.
Alcohol.
So there's a book by David Bloom called Alcohol Can Be a Gas. And he goes all into this. So once they got alcohol out of the way, a German fella named Rudolf Diesel was like, hey, I got this engine, Henry Ford, and you can run it on hemp seed. You can run it on canola oil. You can run it on whale fat. Hmm. And it is the diesel engine. In fact, the original diesel engine ran on coal dust. That's why they call it a coal burner. So then what had to happen is U.S. Standard Oil, the DuPont Corporation, and Dow Corporation. So DuPont was very much into textiles, and acrylic and nylon came out of DuPont, synthetic fabrics. And these synthetic fabrics essentially in the real marketplace could not compete with hemp. And U.S. Standard Oil needed to get hemp oil out of the way, because every farmer in the country could now just start growing hemp, because hemp is like the pig of plants. It'll grow in anything. It doesn't need any fertilizer. And you take this seed and you press the oil out of it, and now you can run your diesel engine in it. And then Dow Corporation had millions of acres of basically forest land in the United States that they owned the forestry rights to, mostly the Northwest United States, and they were big-time paper producers. So these three interests, U.S. Standard Oil, DuPont, and Dow, lobbied very hard and created all of the marijuana propaganda and laws, and lobbied it. They created that, you know, marijuana is going to make black people rape white women. Yeah. Like, this was the claim of the DEA in the beginning. So
yep, they
had to get rid of it all.
Using racism to get rid of marijuana, right. And right. Many other things, claiming that, one time and you'll be schizophrenic for the rest of your life, stuff like that.
So all these same companies brought you peak oil, they brought you marijuana and alcohol prohibition. And, yeah.
I only see their economic incentives to lie about such things. But we do have a caller on the line. Dave Wrigley here in New Hampshire. What's on your mind, Dave?
I guess our independence legislation is coming up on January 12th. And have you already talked about that today?
I did. I'm making it a point to bring it up on the show every day until the 12th, because we want to get as many people out there as possible to go speak in favor of these two bills. They're both really good bills that Jason Gearhard, free stater, and Matt Santanastasso, another free stater, put into the New Hampshire State House. And the first one, CACR 20, will make it to where the people of New Hampshire can vote to make change the Constitution to make it say, if the feds hit $40 trillion of debt, we're out, and we're seceding from the union. And then the other one is Matt Santanastasso's more light bill. It's not so in your face. It's not so daring, but it is a really good one, I think, because how can you argue against it? All it does is create a study committee to find out some answers on things. Like, some Republicans were saying, listen, I would vote on this, but I need more answers, blah, blah, blah. Like, what will happen to Social Security funds, things like that.
So I've gone ahead and scheduled a demonstration for 8:30 a.m. Outside the legislative office building there in Concord. And that's followed an hour later by the hearing, the first hearing. But again, that first hearing is supposed to be followed by another independence hearing. So there's likely to be stuff going on for hours, if not all day. So if you can get out there anytime, probably before 2 p.m. on Friday, January 12th, you could probably be useful. Which would be most useful if you can get there right at the beginning and ride the whole thing out by being there at 8:30. If people want to know more, they can go to forum.shiresociety.com, which has all the details. And I always like to sing it. Forum.shiresociety.com.
Thank you so much, Dave Wrigley. And if you want to find more of Dave Wrigley, you can go to wrigleyreport.com. Thank you so much for the call. I think it's really important that people show up to that. I think that they're trying to kind of... It's kind of a shame to say, they're trying to keep us out of there because they're starting it at the early hours of 9:30 a.m. But to libertarians, that might as well be 4 a.m.
Well, they need to man up for this particular one if they think it's important.
Yeah.
I think that this idea of putting a sort of debt-based trigger is really quite brilliant. I've never really thought of this. Now, I don't think that New Hampshire seceding from the United States is a great idea, but I will say that I love the idea of there being a debt trigger. Now, currently, the U.S. national debt is currently at $34 trillion, and I believe the trigger is at $40 trillion. We may very well hit $40 trillion before, before they even get a chance to vote on this, so it may have to be moved to $50 or something like that. But
and that's
I think
just
that
nuts. They're so they're so not good with money that it's ridiculous that they have any power over the states.
Oh, they're good with money. They know exactly what they're doing. This is just, you know, this is just a way to move money out of the hands of the middle class into the hands of the wealthy and connected. That's what it all comes down to. The idea that the debt per citizen currently is $101,000 per person. That means all the kids that are born tomorrow are born with a little $100,000 debt.
All the kids with a Social Security card and birth certificate.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I mean, I don't know that they'll ever pay off this debt, but they could if they wanted to. And let's not forget that there already is in place an organization that can create U.S. dollars, not Federal Reserve notes. And that organization's called the U.S. Mint. It's
right.
Making money right now. If the U.S. Mint wanted to mint, a $20 coin, it could. If it wanted to make a $100 coin, it could. If it wanted to make a $1,000 coin, it could. And there's no reason that the Federal Reserve needs to, that the United States government needs to borrow from the Federal Reserve in order to create currency. There's no reason.
Well, there is a reason. It's called an enslavement mechanism. It's called the invisible tax of inflation, essentially. So it's just an an enslavement mechanism that puts all of the wealth literally in the pockets or digital bank accounts today of, the 1/110th of the population or a 1/1,000,000th of the population. And then, there was a book that was a nice little book that explained this quite well, came out years ago called Billions for the Bankers, Debts for the People. And then there was an updated book. It was Trillions for the Bankers, More Debt for the People. The Treasury Department could instruct its mint to mint, $34 trillion coins.
Yeah.
A $1 trillion coin. Okay, strike 34 of these coins that we're going to say they're a value of $1 trillion. Here you go, Federal Reserve. You're all paid off. But what happens if, that's the reason one of the biggest reasons I feel that JFK got assassinated, because he actually woke the mint back up, the Treasury back up, and started issuing, silver notes,
silver certificates.
Silver certificates, yes. And using the actual, and going around the Federal Reserve Bank. And the Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express, and it doesn't have any reserves.
Well, yeah, I think it's a little more federal than Federal Express in so much as the president gets to appoint, maybe it's Congress, I don't know, well, the government gets to appoint the Federal Reserve chairman of the New York Federal Reserve. So, I mean, it's this veneer of federality, as it were.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
Well, the government has all kinds of ways to enslave us and keep us poor, so that way we have to be in scarcity mentality where, we don't have time to think about how your questions, why are we here, or anything like that. Because we have to work so hard just to survive every day. And one of those ways is doing things, making laws that make things super expensive and stupid for no reason. And I want to actually start reading this article from the from Wall Street Journal about the California truckers, because I think it's a great example of this. It's a very in-your-face, obvious example. If you can't wrap your mind around inflation tax, I think the easiest way to wrap your mind around that is just to say, well, your money is worth less today than it was yesterday because of inflation. But this is more in your face. It says, after January 1st, 2024, any new big rigs, IMC, I'm not sure what that is, registers in California have to be powered by hydrogen or electricity. Already planning the logistics for electric trucks has added 10 to 15 hours a week to Mr. Stanley's workload, and that's a longtime trucker that they interviewed for this article. California has nowhere near enough chargers to service the number of electric semi-trucks that will soon be on the road. Mr. Stanley can't risk a truck running out of battery. Getting towed only 10 miles costs $600. So they made these laws in California that truckers even must use electric vehicles. And Jay has explained that they can be hybrids too. So it's not, At first I thought, how can a fully electric truck even do that? But I didn't really know much about it. But it's just a big mess because you have to sit there and charge an electric car.
Oh yeah. So this just, if you go on Chase Barber, if you go Edison Motors, YouTube, I listened to a 2-minute clip of him today, and he was talking about how there's 5,000 logging trucks, and he was talking about this, you know, EV mandate in California, I believe, but 5,000 logging trucks, and each logging truck basically uses like two, you know, an average of 2 megawatt of power per day. So if these trucks were to be plug-in, you know, battery-powered, it would basically require something like 15 or 20 times more what the current British Columbia electrical grid can handle. And to update that grid would cost trillions and trillions of dollars just to update the grid, only for the logging trucks.
Wow.
That's not for, like, you know, the truck bringing your groceries to the store, or, you know, the truck hauling, you know, whatever. You
and
know,
they
stuff hauling everything.
They, quote unquote, want to make Bitcoin sound bad by saying, oh, it uses a lot of electricity, but then they do stuff like this. They can't keep their own stories straight. It's ridiculous. And I don't think Bitcoin is that big of a deal using electricity. It's like, well, right now the banking system has the lights on all the time at the bank down the street from where you are, times a million, however banks are in the United States. They have trucks driving to and from them to drop off physical dollar bills and all that stuff. But that's another story.
Well, I think it's also worth pointing out that the United States dollar, the Federal Reserve note, is in part supported by the gigantic military-industrial complex the United States has. And if you want to talk about burning energy, the U.S. military is the largest consumer of hydrocarbons on the planet.
And the largest polluter altogether on the planet.
So,
yeah. Yeah, there is 400 ounces of silver in every Tomahawk missile. That essentially just gets vaporized.
Yeah.
And what's hilarious is they're using these, you know, $12 million missiles to shoot down these, you know, couple thousand dollar, you know, Houthi rebel drones in the Red Sea. I mean, it's just, you know, this tactical warfare from a financial perspective is just like consuming that. They had to actually send some of these battle carriers like back to Richmond, Virginia to reload on. Or destroyer or whatever, back to Richmond, Virginia to reload its missiles because it shot off all of its missiles at drones that the Houthis were, the Houthi rebels, I guess they call them, were, you know, launching off the coast of Yemen at, you know, freighters, you know, in the Red Sea.
Wow. And they're not very good at being stewards of your money, the feds aren't. But it looks like we have a caller on the line, and we are a call-in talk radio show, and 603-283-6160 is the number you can call, like Ricky from the Commonwealth. What's on your mind?
Thank you there, Miss Bonnie. Brother Jay.
Yeah.
Brother Mark, good evening.
Hey, Ricky.
Well, you know, today I took a cab into town because I had to get some tobacco, and I went by the salon that I'd never been to before. It was recommended to me because I wanted to get a manicure and get my nails painted, you know. So I go in there, I order my my manicure with my gloss black enamel, and I have to say they did a gorgeous job. They really did.
How do you know?
The thing about, because I can feel it, Mark.
Okay.
Nice.
You know, I can feel it. I can tell the work as it was being done. She did a beautiful job.
I mean, that's
not
a nice thing. Not a lot of men, like, really take care of their nails and go get like them painted or anything like that? You do,
yeah,
you do
it was
black?
Baked on. It's baked on, in fact. And, and I'll tell you what, you do that, it turns your nails into the paint job of a 58-4, and it's phenomenal. And I'll tell you what, now while I was there, you know, it's all girls, and girls are a very important part of my base, you know. And the thing is, so I did some pre-campaign, and all the girls were crowding around me. And I'll tell you what, the girl was great. You know, she even gave me a back rub on my battle flag as a bonus. Now, the funny thing while I'm telling you all this is while I was doing that, I was doing some pre-campaigning, you know, while my nails were being done. And I was using my, telling my usual stuff, you know, which you've all heard before. But, you know, one of the things I did do is I mentioned about me being a Jeffersonian. I told the story about Jefferson and the Triple E Pirates. Now, there was a woman who did chime in on that. Now, the funny thing was, so I was done at a point, and I was sitting down in a chair. They're clearing out some people. I got to wait because this girl was nice enough to walk me over to the Dunkin' Donuts for my lunch. And the funny thing about the whole thing was, now this woman, as I'm about ready to check out, comes by, and she starts talking to me. And she starts giving me crap about my flag. You know, and saying about, oh, you know, and she's wrong. She doesn't know anything about history. She said, you know, that's a battle flag of North Virginia. I said, what about it? You know, and she really doesn't understand that by 1863, that was being already adopted as the flag of the Confederacy. And she's telling me all the other flags. I don't really care. And she says, you know what? I must tell you that, get this one, Mark, that I'm a conservative constitutionalist. Now, I did mention I was a Jeffersonian, so here's where the fun starts. And she then says to me, see, the problem is not really the Union. You see, the fact of the matter is, there's another word for it than what she says, called a statist. Now, I could have said that. She says, not really the Union, it's those liberals. I said, well, ma'am, you got to understand, I'm a Jeffersonian. That would make me a liberal, but I'm not a leftist. You know, what is wrong with these people? Now, I'll tell you what, everybody in the nail salon sounds like a bunch of Confederates, except this one woman. Now, Mark, what is with that?
Ricky, I mean, we've warned you multiple times that wearing that particular flag.
Yeah, it's a,
I really want to hear your thoughts.
Probably not that good of an idea to wear that flag, because people will make assumptions, even if you believe it means something else. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. That's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
As the cold and flu season approaches, Silver Lungs is ready to help you and your family through the toughest of the year by supporting your immune system and overall health. From our best-selling colloidal silver generating system to our entire line of silver-based skin gels, nasal sprays, soaps, and silver solutions, Silver Solutions remain one of nature's most powerful and least expensive antibacterial agents. Now you can produce your own for pennies a day in the comfort of your home using the breakthrough technology of the Silver Lungs Generator. Learn more today at www.silverlungs.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.